The following is a presentation of the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Print Disabled Technology User Group. For more information about the Technology User Group and the library itself, you can visit our website at lbph.maryland.gov. That's L, B as in boy, P as in Paul, H.maryland.gov. I want to thank everyone who has come out today for this presentation, parts of which have been pre-recorded, which you will be able to discern. But we're going to talk about health resources, apps and gadgets and websites and those kinds of things, which covers a broad area of topics, as you know. We're just kind of going to sort through some of the minutiae and hopefully find some interesting things to get you started on your health journey, whatever that happens to entail. So one of the things that health sort of entails is thinking about the ideas of just better living, healthier living. And, of course, you could always Google anything, as you know, and get some ideas about what that will entail. But one of the things that I would recommend that you do is to read a couple of books and get you started in whatever direction that you think this is going to lead you toward. And I have just two resources here. They're both available through the library in a digital format only. One is The Zero Sugar Diet by David Zinchenko. And that last name is spelled Z-I-N-C-Z-E-N-K-O. It's DB86919. You might say it is sort of the holy book when it comes to trying to eat healthier. The other book that I'm going to recommend is called 20 Years Younger. It's by Bob Greene, last name spelled G-R-E-E-N-E. And that's DB73317. That might be a good place to start as far as healthy living goes. Yeah, weight loss is a goal. Have I got some items for you to try out? I didn't look to see if there was any apps available for the for some of this weight loss stuff, simply because it's so much easier to do this either on the phone or on a website, but there are weight loss calculators out there, calorie calculators, that will tell you basically how many calories you are eating to maintain your current weight, and so what you need to do to lose weight. So the Mayo Clinic has one, and so if you wanted to go to the Mayo Clinic calorie calculator, just Google those four words, Mayo Clinic calorie calculator, and it will pop up for you. And note that it takes 3,500 calories to equal 1 pound. So if you have a week, you know, Christmas week, where you consume 3,500 calories, know that you're going to gain a pound. So obviously when it comes to weight loss, you need to get rid of those 3,500 calories, either by decreasing your food intake or by increasing your activity level, or a combination of both. So I think one of the things that we all would agree is that one of the areas where we tend to gain weight rather rapidly is through fast food. So check out this video.
I'm running late. I know I need to eat, but there's no time. Do you have anything healthy? Hey, Munchies, I'm Alicia If you're new, welcome to the channel. After my recent three healthy Chipotle bowls video where I went into the nutrition facts pretty deeply, I had loads of requests for other restaurants, so I decided to compile that into one grand video where I share a healthy meal choice at each of these 10 fast food restaurants that are not salads, even though there may be a side salad to bulk. Meal qualifications. I try to keep choices between 300 and 500 calories, which can mean some of these are more of a snack than a meal, but sometimes we just need to get something small at these restaurants to stay on track. We don't have to be left out of the experience, but we don't have to overindulge either. I also look for choices that are around 20 grams of fat, at least 15 grams of protein, and under 1,000 milligrams of sodium. Not to say that you must stick to those macronutrient frames at a snack or meal, but I had to have some guidelines and structure here, and that's a pretty common caloric meal goal. 1,000 milligrams of sodium is actually quite a bit for one meal, but sodium is just one of those fairly unavoidable things when eating out that we need to be aware of, and I discuss that more in my Chipotle video. Before we begin, a quick disclaimer for the haters. Let's get to it. McDonald's. Instead of a regular Egg McMuffin, grab an Egg White Delight McMuffin to save on fat and calories while keeping protein high. That English muffin is still made with refined flour, but there aren't any whole grain options, so that's a sacrifice we'll have to make. Remember, one meal with less fuel won't make you fat, just like one healthy meal won't make you skinny. So don't beat yourself up too much if you can't find the perfect meal. Just be honest with yourself about your overall diet. I've also added apple slices and a mandarin orange for some extra volume and healthy fuel-filled carbohydrates. Total meal, 310 calories, 17 grams of protein, 41 grams of carbs, 8 grams of fat, 750 milligrams of sodium. Burger King. It may be surprising, but a regular cheeseburger could be worse. It's moderate in sodium and actually has less calories, fat, and carbs than a grilled chicken sandwich, which to many would seem like the healthier choice. I'm adding a side salad for volume and some nutritious fuel and keeping the fat-free ranch dressing on the side so I can be in control of how much is used. Remember, salad dressings can do a lot more damage than people realize. Total meal, 370 calories, 17 grams of protein, 41 grams of carbs, 16 grams of fat, 1,195 milligrams of sodium. But remember, you likely won't need that entire dressing packet, which is a sodium bomb. Wendy's. Wendy's offers some pretty fancy salads, but most of them are specifically damaging when you account for the dressing. Luckily, they offer items other than classic sandwiches, too, like wraps. This grilled chicken wrap has moderate stats, although it is on the small side. I'm adding apple slices on the side for volume and nutrition, although notice how little fiber the apples actually add because the serving size is so small. Total meal, 305 calories, 20 grams of protein, 33 grams of carbs, 11 grams of fat, 620 milligrams of sodium. In and out. The West Coast chain's not-so-secret menu offers a great option to lighten the load, a protein-style burger which replaces the bun with a lettuce wrap. The only problem, In-N-Out doesn't offer sides other than fries, which are obviously high in fat. Instead, I opted to get a regular hamburger. Now, as is, this would be 19 grams of fat, but if you replace the special spread with mustard and ketchup on a burger, you cut 9 grams of fat. Not so. Total meal, 310 calories, 16 grams of protein, 41 grams of carbs, 10 grams of fat, 730 milligrams of sodium. Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell, but one of the hardest things to deal with nutritionally is that most of my favorite items are super high in sodium. I ended up going with the Gordita Supreme with chicken. It's moderate in sodium and fat and offers protein. Yes, it's made with refined grains, but that's pretty unavoidable. The Power Bowls were something I considered, but that sodium content was just too high. Instead, I added a side of black beans to my dish for added volume, flavor, and nutrition. Plus, look at the nice fiber boost. Total meal, 340 calories, 20 grams of protein, 41 grams of carbs, 10.5 grams of fat, 740 milligrams of sodium. If you're finding this information useful, don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell so you're notified each week of new videos. Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is the place to go to eat more chicken. Who knows why the C is missing from the chicken? Admittedly, many of the menu items use fried chicken, which is a tough sell when it comes to providing fuel. For that reason, I went with the grilled chicken nuggets, which are made of leaner breast, and they're obviously grilled instead of fried. It's not a sandwich, meaning I get to skip the refined grains and capitalize on more protein for less calories. I went with the zesty buffalo dipping sauce, because as is the case with dressings, dipping sauces can be pretty detrimental to the overall meal macronutrients too. They also added a fruit cup and a side salad with a light Italian dressing. This was the only dressing I could justify because most just have too much added sugar. I wanted to add the superfood side salad because it sounded so healthy with the kale and broccolini, but it had 18 grams of sugar, and that's mostly added from the dressing. Bummer. Total meal, 340 calories, 30 grams of protein, 24 grams of carbs, 14 grams of fat, 1,730 milligrams of sodium. Wowza! But remember, the dressing and dipping sauce are the sodium bombs, and they are on the side, so you don't need to eat the entire pack. If you consume half of each, you'd be at less than 1,000 milligrams for the meal. Subway. Subway lets you know which sandwiches are from their FreshFit selection to make healthy choices easier, which is nice because it can be just as easy to make a nutritionally damaging choice here, too. I went with a 6-inch rotisserie-style chicken on wheat bread, which is moderate in calories, sodium, and fat, and high in protein. That also includes the basic toppings of lettuce, tomato, onions, green bell peppers, and cucumbers, which is great for a bit of actual fuel. Keep in mind, none of the bread loaves at Subway, even the 9-grain wheat, are actually whole grain. All of them include refined grains, and that's probably why they taste so good. I also passed on the chips and added apple slices. Total meal, 385 calories, 29 grams of protein, 54 grams of carbs, 6 grams of fat, 660 milligrams of sodium. Panda Express. I haven't eaten much Panda Express in my day, but upon researching, I found calories and sodium can add up pretty quickly at this chain. The string bean chicken breast was a moderate choice, but I figured it might not be enough food on its own. So I added a side of half brown rice and half mixed veggies, offering some extra fuel and volume. Total meal, 440 calories, 20 grams of protein, 64 grams of carbs, 11.5 grams of fat, 870 milligrams of sodium. Starbucks. The gourmet feel can fool you into thinking their choices are healthier, but beware. Some of those sandwiches are just the same as other fast food joints. The reduced-fat turkey bacon and egg white breakfast sandwich was a decent choice, even though it contains refined grain bread and isn't a particularly large serving. I added some whole grain oatmeal to supplement, and I like that Starbucks provides plain oatmeal with toppings on the side, so you're in control. I also got a grande cafe Americano. It is Starbucks after all, but this drink requires no added sweeteners or sugars. Total meal, 405 calories, 22 grams of protein, 59 grams of carbs, 8.5 grams of fat, 700 milligrams of sodium. Dunkin' Donuts. Donuts may be refined and packed with sugar, but many are surprised to find the donuts at Dunkin' Donuts aren't nearly as bad as some of those breakfast sandwiches. The egg white veggie flatbread is a decent choice at least. The multigrain flatbread contains multiple grains, which does not mean multiple whole grains. Rather, it means multiple types of grains, many of which are refined. So sneaky. I also added a medium coffee with a splash of milk rather than sugar. Total meal, 340 calories, 19 grams of protein, 34 grams of carbs, 14 grams of fat, 580 milligrams of sodium. And there you have it, 10 healthier snack and meal choices for these 10 fast food restaurants. If you have a healthier go-to choice at any of these, feel free to share it in the comments. And remember to get creative and make your own meal choices. These are just here as a starting point to get you to start thinking about choosing more fuel when possible. I obviously did not include Chipotle since there's already a whole video on that. So be sure to check that out now if you want more info like this. If you found this video helpful, please share it. I appreciate you subscribing, commenting, and liking. I will see you next week. And remember, especially when it comes to fast food, it's all a matter of mind over munch.
So pretty much any device that you have anymore, whether it's the phone through Siri or whether it's using an Echo device, those types, or even the Google Home device, you can ask calorie questions to. How many calories are in this? You can name a fast food item. You can name your cereal. You can name sandwiches, those types of things, and it's going to give you accurate information. So it's easy enough to calculate your own calories should you decide that that is something that you want to do. And as mentioned previously, the other way to reduce calories is through exercise. And before I get into some of the exercise options, information that's out there, the apps and those types of things, just know that the first place that you can actually start is with the health app on your phone. So all smartphones have a health app of one kind or another. So on the iPhone, I believe it's called Health. On a Google phone, I believe it's called Fitness. But either one of these apps are going to give you useful information about apps to try, different types of apps that you can download to do different things for you. Of course, not all of them are accessible, but some of them are. So you might want to check those out. Of course, the medical alert information can be put into your health app. And here is what's new from iOS 15 when it comes to the health app. So check this out.
Apple's commitment to health is stronger than ever. With our APIs, developers are using our devices and health app to come up with ingenious ways to push things forward. For the first time ever, you can get insight if your fall risk increases and take action early to improve your steadiness. As you walk with your iPhone, the built-in motion sensors automatically measure how fast and how evenly you walk, the length of your step, and the timing of each step, right down to how often you have both feet on the ground. Combined, these metrics provide powerful insight on changes in your balance, stability, and coordination. You can view your walking steadiness in the Health app. You'll see a classification of OK if the metrics show that you're stable while walking. You can see how your walking steadiness may change as the months go by and receive a notification if your steadiness is low or very low and you're at increased risk of falling. Health app will now include detailed descriptions to help you better understand your lab data. You can also now see whether your labs are within expected ranges. Together, these views will help you get even more meaning from your lab results. You'll get insight on long-term changes across areas such as steps, resting heart rate, blood glucose, sleep, and much more. You'll also be alerted when there's a new trend in your data, which may be something you want to monitor more closely or even discuss with your physician. So if you're getting more daily walks in, your health summary will show that your steps taken have increased over the last few months. This is a great way to celebrate progress towards meeting your health goals and a powerful new way to get early insight into potential health issues. So to support this conversation, you can now share health data that you choose with your healthcare provider in a private way. Your doctor can then view this data directly from their electronic health record system and look for important trends such as changes in activity and a history of alerts like high heart rate. To empower you to care for others, we're introducing Health Sharing, a private and secure way to view health data, trends, and alerts for the people most important to you. I can also receive notifications, including high heart rate alerts, changes in mobility, and more. Your health data is under your control and is encrypted in transit and at rest. The permissions built into the sharing experience give you granular control over which types of data you share and with whom.
I really like the summaries that the health app does for you as far as the number of steps you climb, the number of steps you take, and those types of things, because it's very helpful in determining your activity level, especially if you haven't been focused on that for a while. It's going to let you know whether or not you're doing more than you did last week or less, those types of things. So the summary information in the health app is very good. Speaking of the apps for measuring steps and those types of things, there's plenty of them out there. One of them that I like is called Steps. And what's neat about this particular app is that you can set up a widget so that it keeps track of your steps, because obviously it's one of those things that Siri isn't going to give you the answer for. Even though you have the health app on your phone, it's not going to give you that information, at least not yet anyway. So the Steps app is free, and actually all the ones that I'm going to be talking about today are free. So Steps is one of them. There's a couple of ways to actually earn money anymore while you walk, which is really helpful if you need that extra motivation. and some of us do. One of those is called achievement. Achievement for every 10,000 points you get will give you $10. So just to give you some idea, if you walk 10,000 steps, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, achievement gives you 33 points for doing that. It also has surveys that you can fill out and those types of things, you know, medical surveys that they want to do, research, questionnaires. Some of them are yes or no questions, but that'll give you a quick 3 points and those types of things. So achievement is completely accessible, and it's an easy way to earn $10, whether you earn it in 6 months or whether it takes you 3 years to do it. It doesn't really matter. Eventually, you'll get there. So it's a neat little app to have on your phone, so I suggest that you try that out. Another app that you can get, which might provide a little bit more motivation for individuals, is that one called StepBet. This one is fairly accessible. It's kind of one of those things where it asks you for to connect to your Apple account. You have to sign in for this one because it's free. But if you're going to place bets on your steps, then it needs to be connected to your financial information. So, and the way this works is that if you walk the number of steps that it challenges you with, you're at least guaranteed to get back your bet, should you bet on yourself to do it. In addition, if you meet your goals, you can win a pot of the part of the prize of other people who may not have completed their goals. So with that in mind, you could actually earn a lot of extra cash should someone not be able to meet their goals, which is kind of neat. So you bet on yourself to meet your goals, and it looks at your walking history to determine how many steps you're supposed to be doing. And it gives you a couple of challenge days where you got to do more than what your average has been. So, for example, it may give you 4 days of walking 9,000 steps, 2 days of walking 11,000 steps, and then the seventh day is sort of I won't say it's a throwaway day, but it's one of those days that's not going to count against you. So you only have to meet your goal 6 out of 7 days. So that, again, is called Step Bet. So it's pretty neat. And, of course, you know, we're talking about apps, and, you know, not everyone has a smartphone. Not everyone wants a smartphone. So there are talking pedometers out there that you can buy through MaxiAid, the Braille Superstore, or even Amazon. They cost around $15. And you can buy one of those and put it in your pocket or clip it on your belt or wear it as a lanyard. And that will help with the you get some information. But usually those they'll give your daily totals from midnight to whenever, but it's not normally going to keep a running tally for you as far as if you want to check it out for the week. So you would have to write down that information day by day. And you would have to write it down before you went to bed because it's going to reset in the morning. Now, one of the reasons why we talk about steps is because of all the activities that an individual could do, it's probably the easiest one. I mean, if you walk a mile, you're going to burn about 100 calories. You know, it's a little different if you're heavier, a little less if you don't weigh as much. So that is why people look at steps and say, yeah, that's something that I can do. It's easy enough, you know, go for a walk, go around the corner, around the block, those types of things. But I would say if you live in an apartment complex, you definitely have a great exercise that's easily available to you, and that is stair climbing, because stair climbing burns about 9 calories per minute. So it's one of those things where you go up several flights of steps, you're going to burn a substantial amount of calories in a very short time. And if you run up those steps, that's even better. Of course, I would recommend that you take it slowly, because if you're not used to walking or running up steps, it can be quite a challenge for the first few weeks. So it's one of those things where you may want to take it 2 flights at a time, do 2 flights for each time you go out, and, you know, maybe do it 4 or 5 times a day, and do that for a week, and then try to increase it over the next few weeks. If you have the room, if you have the space, another great exercise activity is jumping rope. It burns 10 calories per minute. Of course, I would say that if you don't have a jumping rope, you can at least do any type of jumping activity, and it's going to burn a good many calories. So you do have that option for you. So when it comes to working out and just kind of doing all-around types of workouts, you know, lots of devices can help you with that. I mean, your Echo device has a few apps out there. And it has the 7-minute workout. It has My Fitness Pal, Easy Yoga, My Better Nutrition, The Workout Coach, Intense Fitness, and The Body Coach. All great accessibility apps that's going to be easy for you to do. So check those out. And the web, you can find Audio Described Exercise anymore, which is great. And if I were you, I would just go to YouTube, either on the YouTube app or online, and go and look for Eyes Free Fitness. I think they have some really great cardio workouts. They have some easy regular exercise, which all this is audio described. And also has yoga for the yoga instruction out there. So check out that information, because I think that you will find, you know, yoga is actually, even though it's not high intensity, it may find that it actually does help to enable you to lose weight. And there's definitely a lot of information out there as far as websites and things like that for exercise and nutrition, whether it's Living Strong, the Eat This, Not That, which is a very useful website when it comes to nutrition, and those types of things. So we're going to leave behind the exercise and nutrition, and we're going to kind of look at other health-oriented gadgets. First up, we're going to have Blind Insight introduce us to Script Talk. And then we'll hear from Tiffany, who will talk about the Script Talk app.
Hi, my name is Andrea, Blind Ambassador for the MOG Project. I'm here today to talk about a really cool and helpful product called Script Talk. Script Talk will actually help you manage your medications if you're visually impaired or blind. Have you ever got up in the morning and said, "Oh my God, I can't read this prescription. I don't know what it is I'm looking at. I don't know what I just took." Well, there's a great solution for you, and it's called Script Talk. go ahead and ask your local pharmacy if they're participating in this program, and they will be able to actually provide decals that they actually put at the bottom of the medication bottle, and it will help you read and scan your medication. So let's take a look at how it works. So what you're going to do after you actually have downloaded ScriptTalk off the App Store, you're going to open it up, which I'm going to demonstrate here. Open ScriptTalk. Okay, let me turn my voice over on. Got to do a full scan. So you're going to hit full scan. It's going to say it's ready to scan. And then you're going to take your medication bottle, and you're going to actually put your pill bottle right on top of your phone, and it'll tell you where at the speaker at the top of the phone. And here we go. It's going to tell me automatically what the patient's name is. We'll hear that. What the medication is, the name of it, with the amount, the milligrams. It'll tell you how to take it as indicated by your doctor, the quantity, the fill date, use by date, refills remaining, prescriber, doctor's name, and then also any additional pharmacy numbers you may need or warnings or indications will all be listed on your ScriptTalk app. Another way to do this, if you don't have a smartphone, is to use what we have here, and that's the ScriptTalk base. So with that, I've already turned the machine on. There's a little adjustment here. So it's ready to go. I'm going to put my medication bottle right on top of it, and then I'm going to press this middle button. It's going to read it.
Patient, John J. Smith medication, amoxicillin, 500 milligram tablet. Instructions. Take one tablet 3 times daily. Quantity, 30. Prescription date, May 11th, 2016. Use by, May 11th, 2017. Refills remaining, 0. Prescriber, Dr. Ben Casey. Scriptability, to reorder this prescription, dial. Area code 309-555-1212. Prescription number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Warning. Important. Finish all this medication unless otherwise directed by prescriber. Warning. This medicine may be taken with or without food. For more info, dial area code 309-585-1563. Enter code 3295.
So I hope that this has given you a good demonstration of what ScriptTalk can do. I'm also going to go ahead and provide a link so you could read more about it and call your local pharmacy to gain your independence back. Thank you. Take care. Be well.
Good morning. Today I'm going to talk to you about the ScriptTalk mobile app. The ScriptTalk mobile app works similar to the ScriptTalk device, where you can scan a prescription bottle with a ScriptTalk label that was put on by your pharmacy to obtain medication information. You can get such information as the name of the medication, the fill date and the expiration date of the medication, the doctor or physician who filled the medication and their phone number, and side effects of the medication, in addition to the pharmacy information for that specific medication. One thing that you need to do before you can use this app is to create a free account. So once you're signed up with your pharmacy, with the ScriptTalk program, you can download the app and you can create a free account. Also, another good thing is you don't need an internet connection when scanning medications. So if you're somewhere where you don't have access to internet, you don't need it. It still will recognize all the medication information assigned to that medication label, which is really great. I'm going to go through the app and describe to you how the buttons in the app work.
Script Talk Mobile. Heading. Script Talk.
So in the Script Talk app, you have five buttons. You have the full scan.
Full scan button.
You have the quick scan.
Quick scan button.
You have the My Meds, which is where your medications are listed when you do a full scan only.
My Meds button.
You have pharmacy information where you can put in your zip code and find a pharmacy nearby, your zip code, in surrounding areas.
Pharmacy button.
And you have the help button.
Help button.
The help button tells you how to use the app, what the difference is between a full scan and a quick scan, and how to search for pharmacies. So I'm going to go back to the full scan button.
Full scan button.
When you double tap on the full scan button, you'll hear a ticking sound. Then you can place the medication 1/2 inch, or they tell you over the earpiece of the phone, to read the label, which all the Script Talk labels are placed on the bottom of actual medication bottles. And if you have a medication where the label cannot be placed on the bottle, for example, an inhaler or a package of medication, it's placed on the box of that medication, more than likely on the side near the bottom of the box. So you place that label over the earpiece or 1/2 inch from the top of the phone after you hear the ticking sound start. Then you will hear a beeping sound that indicates the medication has been read. So I'm going to double tap on the full scan button. When I double tap on the full scan button, you would hear ticking, and then the phone would read the name of the medication and it'll beep. I'm not able to demonstrate that portion for privacy concerns, but you'll get the name of the medication, the physician, the date it was filled, the expiration date, the pharmacy information, and the warnings, and any cautions or side effects. Now, you may have to double tap on the More Info button to get more information about the medication. And when you're scanning a bottle, you can actually hold the medication about 1/2 inch from the earpiece. It doesn't have to be against the earpiece for the medication to be recognized and scanned. When you use the quick scan feature, you can double tap on it and you can do a quick scan of the medication, but after it ticks the first time and you hold the medication over the earpiece, it will not beep after reading the first name of the medication. It'll read the name of the first medication. You can take the next medication and hold it over the earpiece, and it'll scan the second one. It only reads the name of the medication and nothing else. So I believe that the Script Talk mobile app is very useful, especially when you are somewhere where you don't want to take your Script Talk reader, especially on vacation or something like that. You can just pack your medications. You have your phone with you, so you can open the Script Talk mobile app, and you're able to scan the medications, get the information from the medications, and the fill date or the expiration date of when, you know, your medication was filled. So if you have a medication that you want to say, oh, you know, I don't know if this is expired. I've had it a while. So you can scan it. Or if you had a medication filled and you know it's coming up close to the time where your next one should be filled, that's also helpful to know that fill date. Or if you have to contact your pharmacy for any reason, you're able to do so because the phone number for the pharmacy is listed right there. If you have any questions about a specific medication, I had that experience where I went on vacation and I had a question about a medication, and I was able to contact the pharmacy because the phone number was right there when I scanned the medication. Or if you want to scan your medications with a full scan, you can actually share that information in an email or a note or a text message with someone if you need to, you know, send them names of medications. So this QuickTalk mobile app is very useful. I also learned recently from the QuickTalk mobile app pharmacy option that not only will you get features about the pharmacy, whether they provide QuickTalk, they call them talking labels, some pharmacies also have large print and braille labels. Now, I'm not sure exactly how they work. I've never experienced it, but I did notice that Rite Aid provides the talking labels, which are the QuickTalk labels, the large print labels, and the braille labels. Some pharmacies only provide the QuickTalk labels, such as some Walmarts. So the pharmacy feature allows you to find pharmacies near you, and you can define the radius, whether you wanted to search 5 miles from you or 10 miles from you. So it's a very useful app. I like it. I like the versatility of it, and I would recommend it to anyone. So thank you very much, and I hope this information regarding the QuickTalk mobile app has been useful.
We can't all live a perfect lifestyle, and sometimes life throws us a curveball, and we have to deal with specific conditions, and one of the most popular ones in today's society is diabetes, and monitoring diabetes can be a real pain. We know that there are talking glucose monitors, machines, systems like the Prodigy, but that does require sticking yourself and taking a blood sample, then trying to get the machine to read it properly and those types of things. And if there's enough blood, if there's not enough blood, if there's too much blood, is it, you know. So there is a better system out there. And that system is called Dexcom. And a number of our patrons have are using this particular system. And here's a little bit more information about it from Type 1 Tech.
Use the system in a way that works for you.
One good calibration is more than enough.
What's my glucose?
You're 124 and rising.
Lovely. We're going to share with you 8 tips for Dexcom G6 that will take your CGM game to the next level. Let's go. I recently started with the Dexcom G6, and right after I applied my first sensor, I immediately started connecting with more experienced Dexcom users. I wanted to learn how I can best utilize this continuous glucose monitor and what Dexcom G6 tips and hacks are out there that I can share with all of you. One of the people I connected with was Crystal, who runs the Diabetes Strong YouTube channel. Crystal and I put together a few Dexcom G6 tips and techniques, which we are going to share with you in this video.
Thank you, Tom. And hi, everyone. I am Crystal Oram. As Tom mentioned, I am the founder of Diabetes Strong. I've been living with type 1 diabetes since 1997. That's coming up on 24 years. I currently live in the United States in sunny California with my, snoring fur baby and my husband, but I'm actually born and raised in Denmark. That's where I got my diagnosis, and I still speak Danish. So hi, Edison.
Thanks a lot for the introduction and sharing your story, Crystal. I'm so happy to have you join me on my channel. So let's get right into the first Dexcom G6 tip. Take it away.
When you wear the Dexcom G6 system, there's actually quite a few ways to watch your data, watch your blood sugar. So one of them is to use their receiver. It doesn't have to be pink. This is just a sleeve. This is usually in a drawer. Where I see my glucose is on my phone. This is just the, see if I can get it out of the light. This is just the Dexcom app. What is really cool about this is that if you have an iPhone, you can install Siri. And let's say that I'm driving and I can't touch my phone or whatever. Just put my phone here and I can go, hey Siri, what's my glucose?
Okay, viewing. You're 124 and rising.
So that's pretty cool. I like that feature. That's a newer feature. It's only working with the G6.
Wow, this is so cool. I'm going to set this up right after we film this video.
If you have an Apple Watch, you can also watch your reading on that. I do not.
I do, and it works really great. Sorry for interrupting again.
I have a Fitbit. This is a Fitbit Versa. So what I did was I downloaded a clock face called Glance, and that allows me to, here you go, see my glucose readings directly on my watch. It's not an official Dexcom app, but it works. The Dexcom G6 is approved for 10-day wear, and that's about how long I wear it. So I'll try and move it around on my body to just give my skin a break. My favorite placement is here on my upper arm. So I'll do, you know, side by side, but I also sometimes wear it on my stomach. I've worn it on my lower back and my thighs as well. But again, my arm is my favorite placement, is the best readings. I don't pull it off. It's technically not approved for arm wear in the U.S., meaning it's not FDA approved. If you're nervous about that, one thing to keep in mind is that it's actually CE mark for wear on the arm. That means that if you're in a country that goes by CE mark, you're not off label if you wear it either on your arm or on your stomach.
I can confirm that. I'm in Switzerland and we go by CE mark, so we're not off label.
I think the most important part is use the system in a way that works for you. What I mean by that is, for example, the alarm. Only set alarms that make sense for you. Don't set a 180 alarm if you're not going to do anything about your blood sugars once they hit 180. If you're not going to correct to get it down to 180, you're only going to correct when you get to 200, then set the alarm at 200. Just having your Dexcom go off with a lot of alarms that you're not going to do anything with, it's just going to give you alarm fatigue, and it's going to make you want to throw the system out the window.
These were really amazing tips, Crystal. And let me add a few more. My first tip is more of a reminder, because the Dexcom G6 is taking the glucose readings from the interstitial fluid. And the interstitial fluid readings will always be slightly lagging behind your readings from blood. So keep this in mind, especially in the moments when your glucose is rising or dropping sharply. Because in those moments, those little lags might turn into quite a big difference between the sensor reading and the glucometer reading. Another tip I want to mention is calibrate your sensor when you see that the sensor readings are consistently higher or consistently lower than your glucometer readings. This should help you get more accurate readings from your Dexcom G6 sensor. You can calibrate directly in the Dexcom G6 app. Just keep in mind, you should only calibrate when your blood glucose is stable. So don't calibrate if you just exercise, if you took fast-acting insulin, or if you ate something within the past 2 to 3 hours. Because in those moments, typically, our blood glucose is not so stable and it's more likely to change. And you should only calibrate when you see this stable line with no big jumps up or down. And don't calibrate too much. From my experience, one good calibration is more than enough, and it's much better than 3 bad calibrations. My next tip is something I learned in the Dexcom G6 Facebook group after one of my Dexcom G6 sensors failed. Some people in the group mentioned that if you scan the sensor code instead of entering the code manually when you are starting the sensor, it might lead to sensor failures. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but since then, I always enter my sensor code manually. And by the way, if you want, definitely join the Dexcom G6 Facebook group, because it has 55,000 users and there is so much knowledge there. Definitely worth checking it out. Now, Crystal shared a few really helpful tips on how you can view your sensor data. And I have one more. It's actually a tip how you can not only view your data, but automate your insulin delivery, because you can view your readings on the Tandem's T-Slim X2 insulin pump. So you actually don't even need a phone or a watch with you to see what your blood glucose is. if you're using this insulin pump. And you can also turn on the Control IQ function on the pump and create a closed loop. And the pump will start adjusting your insulin dosage depending on where your blood sugar is headed. I'm using this function myself, and I'm loving it so far. But more about that in another video, because now it's time for the Type 1 Talks lightning round. I hope you are ready, Crystal. Let's go. What's your favorite hypo treatment?
My favorite low treatment? Actually, glucose tabs. These are chocolate marshmallow, and they're amazing. I found those on Amazon. And I know people hate on glucose tabs, but these are soft tabs, and they actually taste good. And there's four in one of these packs.
Insulin pen or insulin pump?
So I'm team MDI, multiple daily injections, all the way. I tried a pump. For me, it ended up just being more work without better glucose control. I also do have access to something called the InPen, which is this beauty. It's a smart pen that basically has the same brains as a pump. I just have to do the injections myself. So it can help me calculate my doses. It keeps track of my injections and all that good stuff.
Libre or Dexcom?
So Libre or Dexcom, you probably figured by now that I'm team Dexcom. I actually have tried a Libre. On me, unfortunately, it wasn't super accurate. I was wearing both my Dexcom and the Libre, plus I was doing finger sticks. And the Libre just came out short. Back then, you didn't have the alarms and alerts either, which was a huge downside to the system. I know that some of the newer systems have those alerts, but I would probably not be switching over just yet. Several reasons. I love the Dexcom data. It integrates with my InPen, which is my smart insulin pen, and I can get the readings on my watch.
And what's your favorite Dexcom G6 site?
Back of the arm.
What do you think is the most annoying thing about type 1 diabetes?
The most annoying thing about diabetes? I'd say two things. Probably I always have to haul around all my gear. I never leave my home without, you know, at least glucose tab. And either my phone so I can see my glucose or a meter. And low blood sugars. Low blood sugar sucks. And never pleasant.
And Crystal, if you don't mind me asking, because you are so physically active, how many carbs you eat a day?
That highly depends on what I'm in the mood for, what day it is. Sometimes 120 grams of carbs, sometimes 50, some days it's 300. I believe in moderation. I believe that the focus should be on living my life first and then adjusting my diabetes care. And it works pretty well.
Totally agree with you, Crystal. And let's ask our viewers. Guys, what is your favorite Dexcom G6 tip that you think the other viewers absolutely need to know about? Let us know in the comments down below. And definitely go check out Crystal's channel. I will put a link to her channel as well as links to everything we talked about today in the description below. And now click on one of the videos on the screen right now to learn more Dexcom G6 tips and hacks.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Zoe says hi.
Yes, I am well aware that there are a number of things that we did not cover today. And if you're newly blind and listening to this, please be aware that there are talking scales, talking blood pressure monitors, talking thermometers. There are seven-day pill organizers. There are reachers and extenders and large shoehorns. There's the MindSpace app that you can get for your smartphone that helps with mental health. So there's just a world of gadgets and resources out there. And, you know, if there's a particular issue that you're having an issue with, I hope that you will contact us at the technology user group. And let us know, and we can try and find resources for you to as you go through your health adventure. So the best way, again, to contact me is call me at 410-230-2446, and we'll try to get you at least headed in the right direction. So I hope that you've enjoyed today's presentation, and if you have, we'll take some questions. I may not have many answers, but we'll take some questions and let's see what you got.
And just remember that as we take questions, that you are being recorded, and we do tend to leave these posted for about 3 years. So know that you will live in infamy for 3 years if you ask a question here. So let me get this situated. So basically what I'm going to do today is that if you have a question, you can unmute yourself and ask the question by doing *6. Like I said, I may not have many answers, but if there are questions, we can try to entertain those. Again, press *6 and ask the question. And like I said, I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. Obviously, you know, there are tons of diets out there. There was a time when we looked at diets many years ago, and there's just literally hundreds of them. So the approach for one diet, obviously, is going to be a lot different from the approach from another. So, you know, if you're doing the Atkins diet, for example, what they say in nutritional eating is going to be a little bit different from the zero-sugar diet. So keep that in mind. Also keep in mind that, you know, two of the main factors for diet a lot of times is protein and fiber, but some people can't eat fiber. So obviously diets have to be modified in those types of situations. So, you know, if you have diverticulitis or Crohn's disease or any of those types of conditions, you can't be filling up on fiber. It's going to do a lot of damage to you. So are there any questions?
Hi, this is Donna. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just wanted, it's not a question about the presentation as in specifically, but it's a question. I was wondering if, I didn't know if you were aware, but I've been meaning to mention this. Your voice is always more muffled than the recordings that you have. I don't know if there's a way to improve on that, but it would be helpful for some of us who have a little bit of a hearing issue, because it's a little harder to understand what you say sometimes because it is more muffled sounding. I don't know if it's because of what, I don't know what device you're using, whether you could increase the bandwidth or use a different device or, you know, something to look into.
Yeah, I think that will be rectified here shortly.
Oh, great.
So that I will tell you.
Okay, you can't be more specific at this time. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right. I understand. No problem. But that will be great. I'm hoping that will happen because that will help us, some of us that need that a little extra. Thank you.
Yeah, by November that should be rectified.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Deidre.
This is Deidre. Hi, I have a question in regards to the script talk. My question is, it was saying that you can find the nearest pharmacy. After you download the app, type in your zip code, is where you can find the nearest pharmacy where you can get the script talk to put a prescription?
I believe that is true. It's been a while since I've used the app, but I guess the second option that you have is that if you have a favorite pharmacy, like I would do, then you might want to call the pharmacy
and that
person
is a free app.
If they participate. Yeah, and the app is free. The app is free, so. But like I said, if you do
have a favorite
pharmacy or one that's close, then you might want to call that pharmacy just to make sure that they do or don't have it. Because for me, you know, one of the things that I'm looking for, and I'm sure you may be the same way, is that you want a pharmacy that delivers. And, I would strongly recommend to check with your favorite one. Because even though they may not carry it, let me tell you how you can go about, you know, doing the process. So they may give you some helpful suggestions.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay.
Yes. When I first, I'm using the Script Talk now, and I'm using the little machine because I don't have a smartphone. But I had a terrible time getting the information from my pharmacist to be able to do it. They were willing to do it, but they didn't know where to go or who to talk to get it started. So it would be nice to know what to tell the pharmacist if they want to do it, how to go about getting the information.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, especially if you're dealing with a neighborhood pharmacy or not one of the major players, it can be a little bit difficult to because they don't have access to a lot of the more mainstream, what I'll call it, ADA.
Well, I was getting it set up at my Bonds in my neighborhood, but the Bonds had been doing it in different neighborhoods for some time. But I still, apparently they weren't able to, it took them months to get it started.
Yeah.
This is Dolores Brooks. The
people
that set up that Script Talk, Envision America,
that's right.
They can talk with the pharmacy who you use to tell them how to do that. That's what they did with me.
So there you go. There's an answer.
I gave
for
them that
Envision.
Information, and I gave them the papers for it, but it still took them a long time to get it implemented because they couldn't reach anybody there that could tell them, I guess, how to set it up. I don't know, but I know it took them a long time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's the same situation I have. I had spoke with them several times and gave them the information. They just never followed through with it.
Yeah.
If you don't say you want them, they won't follow through. Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, but I'm sure that, you know, all this issues with the pandemic and everything probably didn't help the situation out any, so. But Script Talk is a good product, and if you can get it.
I have something to say. This is Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Hi. Jerry, you mentioned something that is important for a lot of people, that the pharmacies do deliver sometimes.
There are pharmacies that deliver, yes.
Right. But the mail order with Script Doc works really well. And I know that Kaiser Permanente has become a kind of strong insurance in our area. For a long time, I did not see in their app anything about accessibility in the pharmacy department. And one day, voila, visually impaired and blind individuals are, you know, could get accessible labels. And so they give you a number in there, but it's very obscure. You know, nobody in your pharmacy tells you that they have accessible labels. If you use the app and you're, you know, going to place your mail order, that's where you see it. And so once you set it up the first time, all your labels, all your medicines will come via mail, and they will come with a label. And they send you the scanner, so you don't have to depend on having a phone. So if you guys know of anybody that has Kaiser and doesn't have accessible labels, please encourage them to check it out, because they do have a number in there to contact in Virginia.
Thank you. Well, if there's any other questions, comments, we will wrap up the session of the Technology News Group, and be back on November the 6th. So remember, it's going to be the first Saturday in November as well. So November 6th, we will do our annual assistive technology gifts for the holiday presentation.
Woohoo!
Again, thank you all for coming. I do appreciate it, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks, Jerry. Good job.